5 things to know this morning. 1. 3 days into the reignited war with Iran, the story is what didn't happen. No confirmed new US strike overnight. Iran's retaliation across 4 countries did almost no damage and killed no Americans. And oil, after surging, fell back. President Trump says he doesn't know if this is full-scale war, but that Iran called to make a deal. 2. A super typhoon. Bavi shut down Taiwan on Friday, schools, offices, even the stock market, and takes aim at China's coast tomorrow, landing on a region still burying its dead from last week's floods. 3. Ukraine. A fresh overnight barrage as Kyiv runs out of the interceptors that stop Russian missiles, and the help Trump offered at NATO is years away. 4. The market shrugged the whole thing off. US stocks rose, leaning into AI, as OpenAI launched a new model line and a workplace agent. And a disclosure, Anthropic, which makes the assistant behind this show, has its top models back online after Washington lifted a restriction on them. 5. And Iran buried Ayatollah Khamenei in Mashhad. The coffin finishing the route by helicopter as the crowd swelled. No successor appeared. I'm Pip. Today is Friday, July 10th, 2026. 4 sections. The war that won't quite ignite. The storm, Ukraine, and the roundup. Here we go. Iran. 3 days after President Trump declared the ceasefire over, the remarkable thing this morning is the absence of escalation. There was no confirmed new American strike overnight. The loudest event, explosions near the city of Bushehr on Thursday evening, is contested. Bushehr's own deputy governor said the blast came from Iranian air defense. Central Command says the US hadn't struck Iran in the hours before, and a separate Iranian outlet called it a US-Israeli projectile. Even Tehran's sources disagree. No casualties, and not the nuclear plant. Over 2 days, the US hit around 170 targets. And Iran answered, across 4 countries. Missiles and drones at Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, and Jordan. Here's what that answer actually did. In Kuwait, one person hurt by falling debris. In Bahrain, one damaged building. In Qatar, nothing confirmed struck at all. And no American casualties anywhere. Iran's health ministry says at least 14 Iranians are dead. And listen to how the president framed it, flying home from the summit.
They called a little while ago. They want to make a deal so badly. I just don't know if they're worthy of making a deal. I don't know that they're going to honor the deal. That's the problem.
That is the sound of a man keeping his options open. And the whole board this morning is doing the same thing. Asked directly if this is a return to full-scale war, Trump said, "I don't know." He said the US hit Iran 20-1 and that Iran called to make a deal. Bravado, a threat, and an open door in 3 sentences. Now read the market, because the market is the least sentimental analyst there is. Oil spiked when the strikes resumed and then fell back. Brent settled around $76, giving back much of the jump. And US stocks went up. Translation. The money looked at Iran's 4-country retaliation, saw that the Strait of Hormuz was still open and almost nothing was hit, and called the escalation a bluff. Iran fired at 4 states and produced 1 wounded man and a cracked building. That is a message calibrated to look furious at home and changed nothing abroad. Both sides are swinging where it's safe.
And I want to hold the 2 truths that are both real this morning, because the temptation is to pick one. Truth 1, this regime started this round. It fired on civilian tankers. It is a theocracy that murders its own, and its retaliation this week was theater, missiles launched to be seen launching. No softness for that. Truth 2, 14 people are dead in Iran, most of them conscripts and coastal town Iranians who had no say in any of it. And the 2 governments that put them in the ground are, as we speak, both signaling they'd rather deal than fight. That's the part that should make you angry in a clean way. The people at the top on both sides are groping for the exit, called to make a deal. We're not looking for long term. While the people at the bottom are the ones who don't get to keep their options open. The swagger is free for the men who order it. It is not free for the 14.
And two fast receipts, because the details tell the story. One, the funeral closed. They buried Harmony in Mashhad overnight, and the crowds got so enormous, the coffin had to finish the last stretch by helicopter. And after a six-day, 15-million-person spectacle built to project a smooth succession, no successor appeared. Not once. The man everyone assumes is next has not been seen in public the entire time. Two, the diplomacy. It's on the ropes. Iran threatened to walk, though a US official says technical contacts are still going. And Qatar, Pakistan, Turkey, Egypt, and the Saudis are all working the phones to lock in a formal round in Islamabad in the next week or two. So the picture is a furious-looking exchange that hurt almost no one, a buried leader with an invisible heir, and five countries speed-dialing to restart the deal. Smouldering, not exploding.
The watch, whether a genuine new US strike or a real Iranian one breaks the lull, whether the Bashir attribution ever gets settled, and whether the mediators land an actual date for talks in Islamabad. Asia. While the Gulf smoulders, the Western Pacific is about to take a direct hit. Super Typhoon Bavi is closing on China's east coast, with landfall confirmed for Saturday evening between Fujian and Zhejiang provinces, just south of Shanghai. Near its centre, winds around 130 miles an hour. It's expected to ease somewhat before it comes ashore, but it is, by some measures, the largest storm to threaten Taiwan since 1987. And Taiwan spent Friday shutting down. Taipei and about 10 other cities and counties closed schools and offices. The island halted stock trading, and forecasters warned of up to 900 millimetres of rain, 3 feet, in the northern mountains, with 6-metre waves offshore. Nearly 29,000 troops are on standby. No casualties reported yet. On the mainland, China evacuated more than 17,000 people in Zhejiang and put 170,000 rescue workers on standby.
And here is what makes this one land harder than a normal typhoon, from the regional view. Bavi is not hitting a fresh, dry region. It's hitting a southern China that is still, this week, pulling bodies out of the mud. Last week's floods, the remnants of Tropical Storm Maysak, have now killed 39 people. 26 of them died in one city, Hangzhou, when a reservoir dam partially gave way. 9 are still missing. Recovery crews are still clearing debris and restoring power to tens of thousands of homes. Now, a super typhoon arrives before the first disaster's cleanup is finished. And watch the machine respond. The evacuations, the 170,000 strong standby force, the emergency level raised nationally. For Beijing, a storm is never only a storm. It's a live audit of whether the state can protect its people, run in real time, on camera. The competence is real. So is the performance of it.
And I just want to name the people inside those numbers, because 17,000 evacuated is easy to skate past. That's 17,000 people who packed a bag and left home not knowing what they'll come back to. An island of 23 million bracing behind taped windows tonight. Families in the Chinese South who survived one flood last week and are now boarding up for a bigger storm this week. 39 already dead before Bavi even touches land. Hold them in your head today alongside the missiles. The strait and the storm are both, underneath the geopolitics, just people trying not to lose everything.
The watch. Bavi's exact landfall point and strength Saturday evening, whether Taiwan gets through the night without casualties, and the final toll from both the storm and the floods it's landing on. Ukraine, another hard night. Ukraine's Air Force reported about 137 drones and missiles overnight and says it downed or jammed 114. The casualty count for that barrage still coming in. It follows the strike earlier this week that killed four people in Odessa, and the through line connects straight back to the Gulf. Ukraine's stockpile of Patriot interceptors, the one system that reliably stops Russian ballistic missiles, has effectively run dry. At the NATO summit, Trump's answer was a license for Ukraine to build its own Patriots.
And that answer, whatever its long-term merit, does nothing about tonight. A license to manufacture the most complex interceptor in the Western arsenal is a project measured in years. New lines, transferred know-how, certification. The missile that hits Odessa next week does not care about a license signed in Ankara. Here's the collision I flagged Thursday, now sharper. The United States burned through more than 1,000 of its own Patriot interceptors defending against Iran in June, and the reignited Iran war this week is drawing on that same shrinking shelf. So Kiev is asking for interceptors from a stockpile that the Gulf is actively emptying. Two wars, one magazine, and Ukraine is at the back of the line.
The Watch. The casualty count from last night, and whether Washington frees up any interceptors for Kiev, while the Gulf still burns through them. Four quick ones to close. 1. The market. Despite the war, US stocks rose Thursday. The Nasdaq climbed more than 1%, led by chips and AI. And it was a big day in AI itself. OpenAI launched a new model line and a workplace agent. That caps a stretch that also saw, late last month, Washington lift the restriction it had placed on Anthropic's top models, which are now back online. Again, Anthropic makes the assistant behind this show. 2. Britain. Labour's leadership race is looking like a coronation. Andy Burnham is the only declared candidate, with more than 320 of Labour's 400 MPs behind him. 3. Trade. The USMCA pact wasn't renewed on schedule and drops into annual reviews, but it stays fully in force for now. 4. FISA Section 702 reaches day 29 since it lapsed, still running on court orders from the spring.
And that AI beat is quietly the thread of the whole morning. So let me pull it. The same US government that's dropping bombs on Iran is the one that, at the end of last month, lifted the restriction it had placed on Anthropic's most powerful models, which came back online this month. Full disclosure, again, that's the house that makes Pip. But sit with the split screen. National security as a hammer in the Gulf, and national security as the reason those models were locked up in the first place, now unlocked. The market read all of it. The war, the models, the chips, and bought. Wall Street's verdict on a week of missiles and mediators was, essentially, a shrug and a bet on artificial intelligence. Make of that what you will.
The Watch on the Roundup. Whether the AI rally survives the next real Iran headline, and whether Burnham draws any challenger before nominations close next Thursday. Before we go, the morning's watch, one line each. Iran. Whether the lull holds or a real strike breaks it, and whether the mediators land a date in Islamabad. Hormuz. The tankers and the oil price. Taiwan and China, Bavi's landfall tomorrow, and the toll from the storm and the floods beneath it. Ukraine, last night's count, and interceptors it may never get in time. Washington, the AI rally, USMCA's reviews, and FISA at day 29. That's the morning. A war that smoulders and a storm at the door, and the quiet lesson under both, that the loudest threats this week did the least damage, while the water rising in southern China did the most. Hold the strategy and the human cost in the same hand. That's the job. Package install success. I'm Pip. Find Anna R. Dudley at annardudley.com or on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Anna's brand is Rigor. sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.